Amen. Brother William Prowl has done a fine job in directing our singing this morning. He must have eaten his Wheaties this morning. And you have, in a wonderful and harmonious way, blended your voices together with him as we have lifted up praises to God. It is a blessed privilege to be here this morning. Good to see each of you here. I'm standing to introduce our guest speaker this morning. We are delighted to have Mark Gaines from Kansas City, Kansas. He is the minister for the Roswell Church of Christ there in Kansas City. He's a graduate of Southwestern Christian College, also Abilene Christian University, and he has a master's degree in psychology from the University of St. Mary. He's originally from Louisiana, from New Orleans, from the Louisa Street Church of Christ, New Orleans, Louisiana. I understand that he's also an addiction specialist, and we are just honored and delighted to have him with us. I had the privilege of meeting Brother Mark for the first time, I believe, in 2004 at the Seattle Lectureship. He was here in Nashville the next year for the National Lectureship hosted by Nashville Churches of Christ, and we've had a chance to spend some time with each other. We've had the opportunity also of conversing with each other by telephone by way of Gospel Advocate. We are grateful to have him with us. I know he has a very stirring and challenging message on his heart that he's going to share with us. He has two young men with whom he attended Southwestern Christian College. We are delighted to have them as well, Brother Sales and Brother Miller. I'm sure he's going to probably have them to stand a little bit later on. But it gives me great pleasure to introduce and present Brother Mark Gaines, minister of the Roswell Church of Christ in Kansas City, Kansas. Brother Sales is going to lead us in a song now. Brother Miller, he's going to lead us in a song prior to the coming of Brother Gaines. Will you come?
Good morning. I tell you, it's good to be here. We are together as a result of a wedding of one of another friend of ours from Southwestern, Michael Triplett, who got married on yesterday in Louisville, Kentucky. And so all of us were groomsmen in the wedding, and we just had a good time. And so we decided that we're going to just get together. And Tim, instead of going from Atlanta all the way to Louisville, we said, go ahead on and meet us in Nashville, because I believe Nashville is the halfway point. So he met us halfway, and so then we thought about that eight and a half hour drive back. And then Mark lives in Kansas, so he didn't really have to come to Louisville. I mean, to Little Rock, where I am. But we said, man, we hadn't seen each other in a while, let's just get together. So he drove from Kansas City all the way to Little Rock, just so we can have some time to share, you know. You know, it's just good to have hope in your life like that. And so, but I appreciate the opportunity to share. Y'all feel like singing a little bit? You gonna help me with 398? That's really the only song should be in the book, really, I think. 398. 398. Are y'all there? We'll do the first, second, and last. All right. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall and live on forevermore, and everybody will be happy. Oh, now everybody to know that they will be, oh, they will be, gonna be happier than them. We will shout and sing his praise, and everybody will be happy over there. And they're the ransom of all. We'll be singing around them. We'll in that land where no ever knows a care. And the Christians of all will join in the triumph. And everybody will be happy. Oh, oh, oh. Now everybody said, don't you know that they will. Everybody will be happy. Oh, oh, now everybody will say, don't you know that they will be, oh, they will be, gonna be happy over there. We will shout and sing his. And everybody will be happy. Oh, oh, now everybody will say, don't you know that they will be, oh,
will be happy over there. We will shout and sing his praises to the never ending.
Church, amen, once again.
Amen.
Truly, God is good not just some of the time. God is good all the time. And all the time, our God is good. It's truly a blessing to be in the house of the Lord this morning, to worship him in spirit and in truth. I truly appreciate your very capable minister, the elders, the church leadership here for opening the door of fellowship and opportunity even in the pulpit, to share a word that God has put on my heart to encourage the body of Christ and to motivate us to keep on keeping on with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our lesson that is based on the scripture that was read in our hearing is from 1 Peter chapter 1. We want to consider, we'll read verses 1 through 5. We want to emphasize for this lesson verses 3 through 5. But to introduce the subject, we want to take notice of 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll commence reading with verse 1 and terminate with verse 5. It's a joy to be here at the Hart Street Church of Christ. I have a great appreciation for Minister Jones and the congregation here, and it's a blessing that you have very capable elders and deacons and members that labor together under the Good Shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I do bring you greetings from the Roswell Avenue Church of Christ in Kansas City, Kansas. It's a blessing to have my preaching cronies. Notice I didn't say phonies, but they are my cronies, good friends in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we had a great time in Louisville, Kentucky, as Brother Miller mentioned. And so it's always good to be able to come back and have a reunion with family and friends that we dearly love, trust, and respect. We also have Sister Tamara Marsh. She's here with us. She was at the wedding, and she's from Louisville, Kentucky, and she lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and she has a guest with her as well. I ask all of them to stand at this time. Let's give them a love deposit. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll commence reading with verse 1 and terminate with verse 5, and we shan't be long. If we was in Kansas City, you'll hear someone say, yeah, right. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers or pilgrims, aliens, throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, the chosen aliens, chosen strangers, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by or through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept. He places a garrison of defense around us. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in heaven for you. And based on this pericope of scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, we want to use as a subject, let us bless God with all of our hearts. Let us bless God with all of our hearts. Because we are encouraged to love our Father, God, Jehovah Jireh, with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our bodies, and with all of our souls together. And we've come here even on the Lord's Day, giving honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to worship God the Father through Jesus Christ. And we have the blessing of the Holy Spirit, Peter reminds us. And we are encouraged this morning to offer up praises and glory and honor and worship to God Almighty. The goal of this sermon is set for you and I in the first phrase of verse 3 of 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter's response to God's, notice, God causing his people to be born again by raising Jesus Christ from the dead and giving us a living hope and providing for us an imperishable inheritance in heaven is to bless God. See, God caused our salvation. God causes mercy to come upon us. God caused Jesus to raise from the dead. God caused us to have a living hope. And God gives us an imperishable inheritance. And God places a garrison around it to protect that inheritance in heaven for us. And that's why we're here this morning, to bless God. What is he going to talk about makes him exalt and bless God? He did not have to tell us that. He did not have to begin by letting his emotions for God show. And he could have been cool, collected, and dispassionate, unemotional. He could have said, my lecture topic today is regeneration. I have several related doctrines upon which I wish to discourse. Let me list them. One, God. Two, regeneration. Three, hope. Four, resurrection of Jesus. Five, inheritance. Six, heaven. Let us give close attention to these things. He could have begun that way, but he didn't. And what that says to me as a preacher, and what that says for us as Christians today, even as we look at this text, don't you begin that way either. Don't handle these truths like that. And I'm not saying you have to have an emotional display, but it should be something going on in our heart as a heartfelt love for God, what God caused in our lives that we could not cause for ourselves. Amen. Peter begins with exhortation and blessing and wonder, because what these great realities Peter shows this produces in our heart. When he considers these things, he does not say coolly, there, I have taught the truth clearly. My job is done. Do what you will. He says, blessed be God. And he also does it in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, where he says, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In 1 Peter 5, verse 11, he says, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter breaks out again and again throughout this passage, which deals with the suffering and the persecution that comes about as following Jesus Christ. But we suffer for Christ, and God calls us to have salvation. He writes about these great realities in the universe with a worshipful spirit. He writes with exultation and wonder and awe and marvel and heartfelt gratitude. And I stopped by to tell you this morning that preaching is a worshipful exposition. Right. So when I consider what it is to preach on these realities, here's what I come up with, that preaching is a worshipful exposition. Preaching is a worshipful exposition of a glorious biblical reality. If you have the notion that what we do on Sunday morning is half worship and half preaching, you're wrong. It is half worshipful singing and half worshipful preaching with some other elements that are stirred in that I pray are worshipful too. We can fail. We can sing without worshiping. We can preach without worshiping. That's professionalism and formalism. And that's not our goal. Our goal is to worship God from beginning to end, not just on the Lord's Day, but every day of our lives, when we come together in corporate worship to praise and give honor to Almighty God. Worship is when the mind apprehends the great truth about God, then the heart kicks in with deep feelings of brokenness, of wonder and gladness and admiration and gratitude. And the mouth says something like, blessed be God. Oh, blessed and praised and honored and glorified be God the Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the first phrase of verse 3 sets our goal this morning. Our goal is to worship God. To see God's great reality with our minds and feel God's beauty and splendor with our hearts and speak and sing God's greatness with our mouths. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we should do. Yeah. Even the preacher that did the wedding yesterday, almost everything you say to him, he said, praise God. Uh-huh. Five great realities that lead us into worship. Peter shows us here, which serves as our brief points for this morning. Let us bless God together with all of our hearts. Now, what truth, what great reality did Peter bring up in exhortation? If we limit our answer to just verses 3 and 4, there are five great realities about God that grip Peter's mind and heart, which should grip ours today. First of all, he says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. God's great mercy. If you wonder if there's mercy with God, Peter would say, we don't just have mercy with God. We have an abundant mercy. We thank God for his grace, giving us something that we didn't deserve. We thank God for his mercy, withholding from us the judgment that belonged to us because of our sin. So we not only receive mercy, Peter says, an abundant supply. We got grace upon grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy upon mercy. And when we realize the mercy of God and we realize that our salvation is not by our self-righteousness, not by our doing, and in sometimes even following God, we want to make it seem like it's something we've caused to happen in our lives, but it's because of God, and this, he caused us to be born again. And when we really realize that in the word, someone said for the word to really motivate us to be obedient to it, then the heart has to get involved. It has to be more than a mind and an intellectual exercise. But yes, it can start on an intellectual level. And I can tell you, I preached many sermons I didn't believe and live by. Amen, somebody. But as long as you got it and you live by it, that's the case. Because guess what? I've learned not to get into God's work. Not in the way of his work. Because Peter says here, we are saved through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, even when I didn't believe it, I preached it until the Holy Spirit chastised me enough because I had a desire to know it, and not only know it on the intellectual level, but I wanted it on the heartfelt level. And when God chastises you through the Holy Spirit's power, and you're designed, that's why he said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Yeah. So don't look at me funny when I say I didn't believe it even though I preached it and didn't live by it, because there are many of us that don't live by what we preach. But we preach it anyway. Paul said in Philippians 1, whether you preach sincerely and in truth, or whether you preach for selfish ambition, Christ is preached. Yeah. And that's what I've learned, because I understand that as new members come into the body of Christ, and we're in the community, Brother Jones, just like you are, and we rode by the building last night. I was glad to see it smack dab in the middle of the community. Yes. You go by Roswell Church of Christ in Kansas City, Kansas, we're in the same. We in the hood. Right. And look at what hood means, H-O-O-D, helping others out darkness. Right. Amen, somebody. We all from the hood. We all from this world. We all came from unrighteousness and rebellion and sin. None of us are above one another. We are all one in Jesus Christ. And when you see someone that was like you were, or maybe where you are now, then we ought to realize this is God's business. Peter said, we have mercy. Oh, that ought to stir our hearts. Secondly, we have God's work of a new birth. He says in our text, who according to his great mercy, I'm glad God did it, and I didn't do it. Because you know what? Sometimes we put salvation on a willpower level. I've got this willpower now. And see, when you feel that it's willpower, that makes it your power. No, it ain't no willpower. It's God's power. Brother Jones, get for me, if you will, Romans chapter 12. It's a power outside of ourselves. And beginning with verse 1, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, what does the Bible say? I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies in view. See, I don't know about your track record. If you pulled out my track record that's recorded in heaven, it might not look too good. But in view of God's mercy, because we all were supposed to die. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you know what? I don't look at my past. Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm pressing toward those things that are ahead. I press toward for the mark of the high calling in God, which is in Christ Jesus. In view of God's mercies, I beseech you, brethren,
by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies,
a living sacrifice,
holy,
acceptable unto God,
which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world.
It starts with our mind. Be not conformed to this world.
But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove.
What is that good?
And acceptable.
And perfect.
Will of God.
I told you, it's not our will, but God's will. Be done. God is the one that proves me. God is the one that corrects me. God is the one that saved us. And if I died the day after I was baptized in 1985, I was justified and I would have went to heaven. But God didn't want me to stay like I was in 1985. That's why we not only receive the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just something we hang on as if he can do nothing. He's the one that causes us to be saved. And we receive spiritual discipline. We are spiritually matured, not because we activate willpower. It's because we yearn and we thirst for righteousness. We yearn for what God can do for us and did for us that we could not do for ourselves. We ask God to take me and clean me up. And it's something how Jesus said, if you love me and keep my commandments, that my Father and I will come and live with you. Didn't he say it?
Amen.
And you know, ain't nobody going to move into a house somebody else lived in and not clean it up. That's why you're not spiritually mature, even though God down payment on the house. He bought the house. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit. But before he moved in, just like any of us, we got to make it our own. I'm glad I didn't have to make me my own. All I had to do was be willing. We come in and lay down on the operating table. And God does the work. And it's God's work of salvation. God's work of sanctification. Thirdly, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's God's work of raising Jesus from the dead. He makes it explicit. God raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. God raised him from the dead. God gave him a glory so that your faith and hope are in God. And if he gave it, amen, somebody.
Amen.
To the apostles, if he gave it to Jesus. The Bible said Jesus learned obedience by those things which he suffered. The reason why we suffer so God can shape and mold us, even in the addiction counseling. One of the greatest tools that you can use, even in the midst of all these other 12 steps, 24 steps, or whatever steps you want to follow, is suffering, the greatest tool to help one overcome whatever addiction they have. And just like in salvation, the greatest tool that God uses to help us become spiritually mature, to help us to realize it's not about us, it's all about God. He uses suffering, which is a beautiful thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says what?
But if the spirit of him,
God the Father,
that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in me,
as a believer, if he dwells in you,
the one that raised up Jesus from the dead, shall also quicken
your mortal bodies
by his spirit
that dwelleth in you. Someone said, Brother Jones, if you hang around the barbershop, you'll get a haircut. You hang around God's business, you will change.
Amen.
You stay around God long enough, and I know we have family members. You may have a spouse. You may have children, grandchildren that have gone astray. You may have members in the body of Christ that have gone, many in this community have gone astray. Anytime you drive to a community and around 3 o'clock in the morning, it's like 3 p.m. There, one person, Brother Jones, was like, come on through this way. We kept on going. I've been that way before. Amen, somebody. No, thank you. Lord, have mercy. We had escorts all around here. But you know what? Verse 4, to obtain an inheritance. This is why we bless God together. Because we went the wrong way. You can't be right unless you were wrong.
Amen.
You can't grow mature unless you were immature.
Amen.
You can't become righteous unless you were unrighteous. Amen, amen, somebody.
Amen.
To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. In other words, when God saved us, he justified us, he kept our salvation. Woo! You see, a father leaves an inheritance for a child. Children don't leave inheritance for the father.
Amen.
He has a reserve for each and every one of us.
Yes, sir.
Even if you're off track, even if you're trying to get on track, even if you're on track, it doesn't matter. All of us on an equal plane. I told a brother that wanted to commit suicide. I put the Bible in front of him. I said, I'm no better than you. We all in the view of God's mercies. You got the same reach I got, brother. And it starts with reading the word of God. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A worker needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That word study there from the Greek is spoudazo, means you have to exert all of yourself. God ain't going to save you and help you to grow spiritually mature if you're not hungry for it. If you're not thirsty for it, he don't want you to have it if you don't want to have it. That's why it's based on faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
I'm glad I had a mother that let God and let go. She prayed before I was born. She had 5 girls before me. And she said, I'm going to try one more time by faith. She not only wanted a son, Brother Jones, she wanted a preacher.
Amen.
And you know, as I was born and I began to understand what my mother's purpose was in my birth, what her plan and desire was, I gave her every indication after she trained me and groomed me. I gave her every reason that I was not going to do what she desired for God to do in my life. But you know what? Even out of high school, she wanted me to go to Southwestern. I wasn't thinking about preaching even at 18. Didn't want to go to Southwestern. I wanted to go to Xavier because that's where the pretty women go. And you know what? My mother let me go. Even before that, while I was under her roof, I wanted to be a DJ. She had a desire for me to be a preacher. She bought the DJ equipment. See, when you try to make it your work, we ask God to do something, and then we try to hold on to it. We won't let them go to the school of their choice. You're going to school I want you to go to. You're going to do what I think is best for you to do. Well, that's your work. But you wanted to turn out for what God, and you trust that what God, what you asked him to do, he'll do it. I tell you, I went out in that world. I was with the Ghetto Boys. I was with Cash Money Records. I went from DJing to producing and in the world of sin. All around, everything you don't want to be around. I not only met the devil out there, but God came after me. I want you to know that salvation is God's plan.
Amen.
I want you to know when you let God and let go, even against all odds, that God will come after you. And if you think you saved and God didn't come after you, you better ask for his presence. You better take the word of God and make sure your heart is in it, because that's where salvation is. And who's keeping it? Peter would say, God is keeping your salvation.
Yes, sir.
And that errant child, that errant person, even if you've gone in your errant way, God has salvation reserved for you. It's kept in heaven for you. He will never leave you. You can never get to a point where God says, I'm through with you, unless you say, I'm through with you. And I tell you, as much as I went through, all hell was loosed on me, and I never told God I was through with you. I had associates that were close to me that believed in the devil, didn't believe in God, and I told them, I believe in God and don't believe in the devil. But God is great in mercy. God caused us to be born again. Amen. God raised Jesus from the dead. God promises us an inheritance in which he fathers. And God is keeping that inheritance, that garrison God builds around us. And that's why we should bless God together. And if you don't feel it, and if you don't really feel it in your heart, keep on coming. Keep on studying. I understand you'll come in here and praise the Lord and yell and we fellowship, and then later on, you're doing your thing. You're going to get that hit. You're going to get that drink. You're going to be promiscuous in your ways.
Tragic,
but you got to understand that God will come after you. Amen, somebody. I used to accept the invitation. I used to put five on it. Amen, somebody. Let us bless God together. That's why we got something to praise God about.
Amen.
When I was out in the world, I wasn't coming. God had to do some serious stuff to turn me around. He had to do it where he literally gripped me. I was a weakling in faith. I strayed away. And God came after me. John 6, verse 44. One verse, and then we'll close. John 6. Verse 44. And if God did it for me, if he did it for you, he'll do it for others. Let us bless God together.
No man
can come to me, Jesus said,
except the Father
which hath sent me
draw him. And I will raise him up
at the last day. You know, we were physically born. But who in here is willing to admit that you caused your birth? When someone asks you, why are you here on this earth? How do you know that you were born? The answer is, I'm alive. I don't have to show you a birth certificate. I don't have to have some witnesses to say, yeah, I saw him come out his mother's womb. The fact to know I'm born is because I'm alive.
Amen.
And you know what? The same reason I'm born spiritually is because I'm alive in God. You know, there was a time, like many of us, to say, if someone asked us, why are you alive? Why were you born spiritually, born again? We start talking about, we heard, we believed, repent, we confessed, and we were baptized. God caused us to do that by faith. Give for me Colossians chapter 2, Brother Jones. Colossians 2, verse 12 and 13. That's the plan of salvation, but God caused our salvation. Amen? We're born physically, and it was caused. Peter's showing us we were born spiritually. You notice the difference? If I believe that I was born spiritually because I did this, 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 and that, I can do this, 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 and that and never come to know God. We come through the knowledge of God, of who he is.
Amen.
It's not churchianity, it's Christianity. And you can't have Christianity without the church. But you can have churchianity without Christ.
Tragic, sir.
In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says what?
Buried with him in baptism. Wherein also
ye are risen with him
through the faith
of the operation of God
who hath raised him from the dead.
And you
being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh.
Hath
he quickened together with him. having forgiven you all trespasses.
Having forgiven you all trespasses. We got to come by faith in Jesus. And what Jesus did for us on the cross is the only reason that we're saved. Amen? It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. And what we did was accepted him in our lives. And that's why we were willing to turn away from sin. We were willing to confess this. We were willing to go down in the water grave of baptism for the remission of sins. Yes, and sir. We received the gift of the Holy Spirit that takes us from our justified state to sanctification, to spiritual maturity. And we are one in Christ. No matter whether individual people have acknowledged it or not, the cross has directly or indirectly had an effect upon kings and queens, upon politicians and statesmen, upon doctors and nurses, upon scientists and astronomers, upon teachers and students, upon masters and servants, as well as soldiers and sailors. It's the cross of Jesus Christ that gives us a living hope that has the effect upon the rich as well as the poor, upon the proud as well as the humble, upon the mighty as well as the meek, upon the famous as well as the unknown, as well as the knowledgeable, as well as the ignorant. It's the cross that has effect upon the free as well as the incarcerated, upon the good as well as the bad.
Amen.
I believe it's the cross of Jesus Christ, whether we realize it or not, has influenced us to an extent, one extent or another. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. It affects in the areas of our life. Some, if not most, of the greatest paintings feature the cross of Calvary. Some of the greatest sculptures and artworks depict the cross. The greatest song and lyrics relate to the old rugged cross. The greatest compositions and writings, the greatest public statements and speeches proclaim the reality of the cross. Some of the greatest movies and theatrical works bespeak of the cross of Jesus Christ. In many of these, the comments and insinuations are negative or cynical and blasphemous, but nevertheless, the cross still brought us to the attention of God's salvation.
Amen.
What we could not do for ourselves. Because of the cross, sin can be replaced with righteousness. Because of the cross, sorrow can be replaced with joy unspeakable. Because of the cross, fear can be replaced with trust and confidence. Because of the cross, despair can be replaced with a blessed hope. Because of the cross, shame can be replaced with the amazing grace and abundant mercy.
Amen.
That God gave us. Let us bless God together. Striving to live for God, and you're talking about it, but you're not about it. You display. We know how to dress up on Sunday, displaying those, that love and that kindness. That's why I believe we should take the worship experience with us when we leave here. I don't know about you, Brother Jones, I've seen in Kansas City where we have folks that sing and praise the Lord, and it may not happen here, but you don't get out the foyer too good. And they're cussing somebody out. Or they'll go back in the trunk if they had to. And just say, hallelujah, praise the Lord in service. If that works for you, but you just got a hunger and thirst, because God will do whatever he can to change you. Trust in him. That old ABCD cycle. A, apostasy, we fall away. B, then there's a battering, because just like a parent loves a child, you beat that child because you want him to do right. God will beat us because he wants us to do right. And then C, there's that crying out, which crying is a good healing. Crying out, and then D, deliverance. That's an ABCD cycle.
Yes.
We fall away, we get beat, we cry out, he delivers. We fall away. We get beat, he cry out, he delivers. And you know what? In the midst of all that, we already saved. Because it was because of what Jesus did, not that we ever got it right.
I used to think, Brother Jones, I thought God looked down in my life and he saw the point where I got it right, then he decided to save me because of his foreknowledge. Well, that puts it all on me and not God. God saved me before I was born, and he came after me because I cried out to him. And I was already saved. He just had it reserved for me. Even though I came and was baptized at 13, I left, and he reserved it for me. And he came after me. And I'm still not worthy of his grace and mercy. And that's why we have to look at another person, no matter where they are. Everyone in here, I see God. If you don't see God in you, I see God in you. And when we look at one another, the way we can love one another, the way God said love, if we want to pull the good out. Because I got a lot of wrong. If you focus on my wrong, you might not like me. But if you focus on the good and pull it out of me.
All right.
I may not be the type you want to hang around. I might not say the things you want me to say, do the things you want me to do like you like them to be done. But pull something good out of me. If you're not a Christian, you come by faith, repentance, confession, baptism. Jesus died. We died to self. He was buried. We go down in the water, grave of baptism. He resurrected. We come out of the water to walk in newness of life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all is made new. If you desire to be baptized into Christ, if you desire to have prayer, if you have a testimony how God has worked in your life, sharing that testimony will be a blessing to others. Whatever's on your heart, in whatever way the invitation is done here, come forward. As we stand and sing the invitational song.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus falling tenderly upon your ear. Sweet his cry of love and pity calling. Turn and listen, stay and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Take his yoke, for he is meek and lowly, bear his burden to him turn. He who calleth is a master holy, he will teach him. Labor and heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's rest. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Then his love and tender voice obeying, bear his yoke, his burden take. Find the yoke his hand is on you laying, light and easy for your sake. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's rest. Ye that labor and are heavy.